Well, it's been a great summer thus far for New South Wales cricket, especially the Sydney Sixers, and especially this man, Steve O'Keefe. He joins us on the program. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Firstly, how were the celebrations after the Sixers? Did you happen to get down to Manly at all?
No, we had a... to be honest, it was quite subdued. It's a different sort of group now than what it was 10 years ago. A lot of guys who were married with kids and whatnot, so I think... On the first, I was pretty much a relief, to be honest. I think we signed autographs, did a bit of media, and then before we knew it, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning and everyone wanted to go home to bed. So, yeah, it was a bit of a fizzler. But, we went down to the Clovelly pub the next day and had a lunch and a few quiet beers. So it was
beautiful.
Nice.
Beautiful. Well, mate, if I can take you back to last Saturday, was it a weird day? I know cricketers get used to, you know, coming on and off the field with rain, but throughout the day, it just looked like there was no chance that that game was going to go ahead.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we sort of, you know, they forecast 120 mils and, you know, you wouldn't be human if you didn't think that, you know, or watch the radar or think it was going to rain. So we were, you know, we were sort of preparing for the worst, which was to play and hoping for the best, you know, that it would rain and we'd just get the easy title. But, you know, even right up until the point that it stopped raining, we still didn't think we were going to get on. But it's amazing, you know, you play with these guys like Smith and Hazelwood and even Moses, and, you know, they can joke around, you know, pretty much 5 minutes before they have to go and get ready. So, you know, we knew with these guys that if we did have to get on and play, we'd switch on right away and you know, get into it. But, you know, I'm with you guys. I was surprised. 10,000 people turned out. I was lucky to turn up, to be honest, thinking we weren't going to get on. So,
mate, what about after the match with the it was a good little clip on Fox Cricket where you said, oh, don't mention the Stars choking. Did you boys talk about that the next day at the Chloe over a few sherbets and just go, gee, what about that mob?
I know. It's amazing. It must be something in that green shirt, isn't it? Because, you know, you look at some guys and they've won World Cups, they've won IPL titles, they've won, you know, back-to-back Shields. It's just something, there's a bit of a hoodoo curse on that green Stars jersey. You know, they've made 8 finals out of 9 years and this is their 4th. I think, final that they lost, or at least 3rd.
Just keep, put the boot in more, that's good.
Absolutely.
Hey, Steve, for a guy like me, I watch cricket. I don't pretend to understand all the rules and what's happening when this concept is on, the 2020. But for a layman like me, what's some of the things that the Sixers work on that you believe sort of help you go on and win games of the cricket, the T20 style? Because is it the concentrate on the first 6 overs? Is it, you know, when you're bowling, what you're trying to do? What's the sort of key things that you talk about as a group?
Well, it's funny. You have a lot of meetings where you have longer meetings for a T20 game than you do for a 4-day game or a test match. It's that sort of form.
Wow.
We sort of talk about just some simple things. You know, we talk about 50-30. So in your first, 5 or 6 overs, the last 5 overs, you're trying to hit more than 50 runs and you're trying to keep the opposition below 50. So that's one of our KPIs.
Yep.
In the first 6, we're looking to, you know, lose less than 2 wickets, so just a wicket or 0 if possible. And around that 45 mark, if we get above 50, that's great. But we want to have a guy at least who's set into those middle overs when the field spreads, because that can become quite difficult. And through the middle, it's about trying to, again, get guys set for that back end. So, you know, it doesn't always go to plan, but there's certainly some markers that we look at from a batting point of view. And with the bowling, it's the opposite. You know, you're trying to take as many wickets up front as possible. You're trying to limit them to less than 50 off those last 30 balls.
Yeah.
And you're trying it through those middle overs with spin or your fast bowls. You're trying to take as many wickets as possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, outside of that, you've got matchups. You're like, right, you know, whoever it is, Stoinis, no good against, you know, left arm in swing early on. So you're trying to pair them up also while trying to adapt to the conditions that are on offer.
Yeah, obviously you want to score off every ball and you talk about your KPIs. Is there a limit on, how many balls that don't get runs off that you can actually have in an innings, but you still come up with a victory? So for in rugby league terms, you know, like you always talk about a kick chase. If you've got a 10-man chase 90% of the time, then all the stats tell you that you'll win games just based on that. So I'm just wondering, like with dot balls, how many do you sort of try and limit it to?
It is bizarre. I mean, we'll go back at the end of a game and, you know, we might have 62 dots. The opposition might have, you know, 68. But, you know, they've gotten up or they've had a win, and you'll look at it and go, right, well, then it's down to a choice or execution error that we've made. So, look, you can get lost. There's no real one number because, you know, most of the stats will say if you lose 3 wickets in that first power play, you lose 80% of matches.
Yep.
But there's been plenty of times that we've been on the receiving end and lost those 3 wickets and still got up and won. So, of course, you're trying to build up dots. You're trying to pack your overs out as much as possible, force them into an error in the middle overs. And we saw that with Josh Hazlewood the other night. He had 3 dots, then a wicket, closed out his over with a single, and then that bounced into a wicket the next over. So, you know, you're kind of, you're aware of it, and the bowlers are aware of it, particularly if they've had a good start to an over about closing it out. And we sort of talk about getting a batter off strike, bowling your one ball, which might be for me as a spinner, I'll bowl a cut shot because I'm like, you've got less power out there. He can hit it to my deep sweeper. He gets the one and that sets up the over for the next guy. So, I mean, as I said, these sorts of things we talk about relentlessly. But if I, you know, if I had an hour, I'd bore you with all of it. But, you know, it is quite a complex game when you break it down.
Mate, we'll segue it across to the Sheffield Shield because you play on Friday against Victoria. Just having a look at this table, and you haven't played Shield cricket for a little period, not yourself individually, but as a team because we've had other comps going on. The 6 matches, the 5 wins, the 1 draw, so you're undefeated. You're on 40.35 points on the table. You play the Vics, who are going like bastards. They've had the 6 matches. They haven't won a game. They have not won a game. They've drawn 3, but they've lost the 3, and they're sitting on 14 points. I mean, do you go into this with a bit of a spring, not only in the step from the BBL, but thinking, well, we've got these
Victorians,
blokes.
Mate, you keep putting the boot in.
Yeah.
Well, it does, yeah. There might be a few choker tags, I think, getting thrown around in the longer pool to these blokes. But, mate, look, you know, the funny thing is you had a look at the Stars, and if you use T20 as an analogy, you know, they won 10 out of their first 11. Momentum's a pretty big thing, and in Shield cricket, it's even more so important. So, you know, we could be ahead and we could host the final, but the rules have changed for the final where it's more of an even contest. So we need to, again, like the T20 tournament, be playing our best cricket at the back end. Sure, it's great that we've done, you know, really well up until now, and that's a bit of a feather in the cap of, you know, the staff and some of the younger players. But, you know, if we, you know, lose 3 games on the trot and bounce into a final, you know, we'll be the underdog. So, you know, we've got Hazlewood coming back for the final, and we've also got Nathan Lyon, who's going to play the rest of the Shield season for us. So, you know, a bit like the Sixers, that'll sort of bolster us again with, you know, 2 world-class bowlers. And we've got Curtis Patterson, who's coming back from injury, and Sean Abbott, who had a little bit of a layoff in the T20, back with us as well, who's sort of really working hard on his all-round game, getting plenty of runs and bowling beautifully as well. So, yeah, positive signs for us. Got 2 games at home up front, which we usually do very well at. So, again, that's a nice way to segue from T20 cricket into the blue stuff.
How do you find your patience going from T20 back into the Shield format? Is it difficult to adjust?
Yeah, absolutely it is. I think it's more hard. It's harder for the batters. I think as a bowler, I can, you know, maybe spend 6 or 7 overs getting into a rhythm. But as a batter, I've typically found a lot of the guys who don't have an extended break, particularly against the Dukes ball, which we'll be bowling, which will be swinging, a lot of guys are getting out playing shots they wouldn't normally play away from their body, driving at balls on the up. So, you know, for batters, it is a bit of an adjustment. You know, there's 2 sort of schools of thought. One, you either just go with it and go, right, I can't fight it. You know, I've been practicing this way, just go with it. Or the other one is to really try and be conservative, go in your shell and, you know, try and face as many balls as you can out there before you sort of get into a 4-day rhythm, if you like.
Has there been much chat about, and again, I'm getting this off Crick Info, that, you know, the last 5 matches, you actually haven't beaten Victoria.
Yeah, that'd be about right, geez.
So last time you played them, you drew with them. It was a drawn match.
Yeah, but before, probably that was sort of their draw, though, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they probably were on top of us.
But before that, you've lost to them the other previous 4 matches. I mean, that gives you a bit more a fire in the belly, so to speak.
Ah, well, I didn't need to hear that first thing. We were coming up a buzzer and beating the Stars. Now you're driving into us. look, they've been the benchmark, you know, in Shield cricket over the last, you know, 10 years almost. I think they've won 5 Shields. You know, last year we played them twice at the Junction Oval. They beat us in the final, and then just before that we played them back home in Des Moines in a game we should have won, but choked, if we to use a better word, but. As I said, they've been the pinnacle. They've got guys like Siddle, Tremaine, Pattinson who come back. And when they play club cricket, you know, Shield cricket, they put in. And guys like Marcus Harris, Will Pekowski been scoring big runs for him of late. So, but we know when we play them in, you know, put that white shirt back on those Victorians, it's a different ball game. So, you know, we're going to have to come out all guns blazing at the SCG to get a result and hopefully break our hoodoo.
More importantly, mate, you must have a lot of mates that listen to this program. They're wanting us to ask you about the punters and dribblers.
What's that about?
What's that about? Well, there's a nice podcast I did, but it'll be for over 18s with the Hello Sport podcast. Men who are the biggest punters and dribblers I've ever met.
Right.
You haven't met Dave.
any Guernsey there? Any Guernsey?
I'm adding him up. Well, that'll be the perfect podcast then. I think you two should get together with Arlo Sport Boys and get stuck in. But, come across the traps with cricket, you come across a few punters and dribblers. Unfortunately, they just seem to take a liking to a few of my antics.
Nah, that's all right. Well, mate, you like the horses? You like, the dogs or the trotters? Do you like having a flutter?
I didn't mind the dogs there for a little bit. It's just my bank balance didn't like the dogs.
I had to
give that away. But I will on occasion head down the races with a few of the boys who play cricket. They have about 15 different apps on their phone with betting agencies, so we'll go through and have a bit of a punt on the occasional weekend. But as a general rule, mate, no, I'm not a massive punter.
So you've never owned a horse then?
Nah, I've seen...
We can get you into one if you want.
We can get you into one. Loz has got one.
I've owned a couple of dogs, so that's not going too well for me, so I thought I'd start out small. But, if you're onto a sure thing, I'm happy to chip in.
Always got a sure thing.
The dribbling part, I want the punter part as well.
I'll tell you what, we'll get a little WhatsApp group going and we'll get Loz to give you some mail because he gets some good mail. We call him the postman. Mate, enjoy later in the week. Obviously, you take on Victoria in the Sheffield Shield. You are not putting any pressure on you with the punters out there, but you are red-hot favourites to win the comp. So please do us a good turn, mate. Steve O'Keefe, you're a champion, mate, and well done on a big summer.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Have a great day.